to another episode of Watch Listing, the podcast to save you from the streaming overlords that dominate your evenings. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, is my co-host, Michael.
Hello there.
And we are back again to talk the May releases for our favorite streaming services, talk some movie news, and talk about what we've been into. So without further ado, let's just jump straight into it. Michael. I don't know if you've heard this guy. He's a little indie. You don't see him very often in a lot of movies, but you know he's usually pretty tame. This guy, Nicolas Cage, he's been around for a while. I don't know if you've ever seen.
I think I've heard of him.
Okay, yeah, he's been in like little movies like Face Off and Con Air and you know stuff like that. I mean, just really small indie movies. But he's actually going to be giving up acting in the next like 3 to 4 years. It was like a big thing. He said he's going to focus more on producing and directing. Do you think your life will be less for him leaving?
I can't tell you the last Nicolas Cage movie I actually saw. So, no, but I am kind of curious to see what he does in the directorial seat.
So we're going to, In a brief sec here, we'll talk about his history with directing, being behind the camera. But I'm a little sad to see him go. I really want to. I actually, and I mean this not facetiously at all, just totally serious. I really want to see Mom and Dad, which is like insane. It's him and Selma Blair, and I don't know if the movie's even out yet. Frankly, I'm probably just going to catch it on Redbox or something, but the parents like all of a sudden go like psycho and want to kill their kids.
Huh.
Like that's the whole premise of the movie. And man, that is, if there was ever a movie that was like designed, created, made for Nicolas Cage and his acting style, this is it. And I want to see it, but let me give you a little preview kind of what he's done so far. So, Nicolas Cage made his directorial debut in 2002, a movie called Sonny. Now, have you heard of that movie, Michael?
Never.
Are you familiar with a one James Franco?
I sure am, yeah.
Okay, do you know a Brenda Blenth?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Well, Michael, this is a movie about James Franco as a male prostitute whose mother serves as his pimp.
Yikes. That does sound Nick Cage.
Yeah, so that's going to give you a little feeling of what you're looking forward to here. So probably going to be as crazy as his acting career.
Yeah. Huh.
He'll do some like totally knock it out of the park drama Oscar movie. And then he'll do something like absolutely insane because
Ghost Rider.
I just think the guy, I think he just, I don't know. I think the guy just can never sit still. And when he doesn't sit still, he comes up with these crazy ideas. I don't know. Well, he seems like a guy who is surrounded by people who never tell him no.
He also has a spending problem. I think that requires him to take whatever role he can. So I guess he realized instead of taking roles, he can make whatever he wants now, too.
Yeah, I believe our friend Adam Kenny enlightened me to the fact that he has multiple castles that he constantly has to pay for. And then he's a very big Superman fan. I know that he paid like over $1 million or something for an Action Comics number one. Just be prepared for whatever's going to make money for him. But speaking of making money for somebody else other than whoever, Jumanji, which was recently the highest grossing movie, I believe, for Sony.
Wow.
Just came out. They just announced a sequel, unsurprisingly.
Yeah.
For next year. So Jumanji came out, I believe, at the tail end of
2000.
Last year, yeah. 2017, and now they're already like working on a sequel.
It was hilarious. I love that movie.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like surprisingly good. Like I think it measures not that the original Jumanji set the bar incredibly high or anything, but I think it measured up to entertainment value.
Yeah, it feels
that the first one did.
It feels like you're not supposed to compare, but if you sit back and you take the, you know, you put the pride to the side, I would probably rather see this movie than the original.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's just so funny, and it's Jack Black kills it. He absolutely murders the jokes in this movie. Like he's the best. And like The Rock is obviously a mega star, so anything he shows up in, like 20 million people show up for. But all in all, surprise hit, but really good hit. I just wonder how they're going to incorporate, because it worked that these people took on the avatars, and it was like, oh, we discovered this game so many years later, and you know, it just it worked because there was so much time between the two movies, and I just wonder how they're gonna, if they're gonna be able to replicate that, making another movie so soon after the first or after the second one.
Yeah, it kind of seems like Sony's getting a little jumpy. They're like, oh my gosh, we can make money, and they're trying to run away with it. So I think there's a strong likelihood that they could rush through the screenwriting and maybe put a damper on it, but we'll see.
And in my personal opinion, this is the perfect measure of Kevin Hart. Excuse me, I forgot his name for a second there. This is like the absolute perfect mixture of Kevin Hart that you could have in a movie and not have it being annoying.
Yeah.
And not have it be like Get Hard or whatever, where he's just so over the top. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But you know, we mentioned Jack Black. Jack Black's going to be in a Goosebumps sequel, which you haven't seen yet. I just found out before we started recording.
I haven't, yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a sequel called The Haunted Halloween, which, I mean, it's Halloween. It's just a little bit of an over-explanation. But it's going to be coming out October 12th next year. So Jack Black's going to have a banner year.
Is he confirmed?
But he's not confirmed. That's the other thing. So Jack Black played the titular R.L. Stine. He played a fictionalized version of R.L. Stine, the writer, creator of Goosebumps book series from the 90s. But he hasn't confirmed to be coming back. But I imagine he probably will.
Yeah.
Especially off the back of Jumanji and Jumanji 2. They're going to want him back.
Yeah, he's kind of resurrecting his career.
Man, big time. This guy is a kid's actor or a kid's movie actor, and he's great. And that cannot be stressed enough, because he, like, absolutely, he's past the point where, I mean, he could probably do serious movies or more adult movies, but he's just a goofy guy. And I think this is kind of his niche now, and I think he just needs to own it. Well, I think he is trying to own it. But I'm excited if he comes back. But guess who else is set to star in the movie?
Who?
Jerry Smith himself, Chris Parnell.
That's weird. I don't get that.
Chris Parnell is such a weird live-action actor, but he is so great as Jerry.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in, just because I love Chris Parnell from, you know, Rick and Morty. And I like him from other things, too. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
But I want Jack Black back. Please bring him back. Get rid of the girl and the boy. I don't care.
Apparently, I need to see it.
It's good. It's definitely worth a watch. I wouldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But absolutely check it out. If it's on, it crops up on Netflix and HBO every so often. So just keep an eye out. If you ever get it for free, it's definitely worth a watch.
I'll do it.
Moving into more streaming news here. Jack Ryan, the new Amazon series that's coming out, has already been renewed for season 2. Season 1 doesn't premiere until August.
Thanks, The Quiet Place.
This is Jack Ryan. You know him as played by Alec Baldwin, as played by Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Sum of All Fears and all, you know, all that stuff. And yeah, so they're making a TV series with John Krasinski of A Quiet Place fame. And it hasn't even, it's 4 months until we see this show. And they've already said, yep, we're doing season two. Is that even something you're interested in, Michael?
I think I'll probably give it a shot. I've seen the trailers. It's hard to take John Krasinski serious. But again, I haven't seen A Quiet Place, and apparently you can take him pretty serious in that one. So I'll probably give it a shot, but that is kind of shocking. You don't really hear season two being renewed before a show actually premieres. So, it has to be A Quiet Place bumping it up.
It has to be A Quiet Place, and I think that they have to feel confident in the show.
Yeah.
Because John Krasinski has just, like, this goofy face. Not that he, like, looks ugly or deformed or anything. He just has, like, a goofy face. Like, he's just a guy that you kind of think is going to tell you a joke when you see him. You know, he just seems like a normal guy.
Oh, and for sure.
Him as this, like, super, not a super spy, but, like, the super everyman kind of soldier just seems a little off. But after I saw Quiet Place, and I thought he was great in that, and okay, maybe there's something there. But I probably sound like I'm really hesitant. I'm really excited about this show.
Yeah.
And mostly just because I like John Krasinski. He's great and he's funny, and I think he's really trying to, I think he's going to probably catapult to, like, superstardom here pretty shortly, which is weird because, like, everybody knows John Krasinski, but he's still not, like, a superstar. You know, like, because everybody knew Chris Pratt, but now Chris Pratt is, like, a movie star.
Sure.
He's huge, and I don't think John Krasinski's reached that level of consciousness in, like, the public zeitgeist to be, like, oh, he's this leading man. Like, he's not a leading man yet,
no,
I would say.
No, not at all. No, but it's kind of cool to see that he's coming out of his typecasted gym bravado.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting that. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
August can't come soon enough, I guess. But let's move on to the next bit of news here, which is, we've got Netflix is actually rumored to be launching its own theaters. I don't know if they're going to be buying their own theaters or buying existing theaters or building their own. I'm sure they're just going to be buying, you know, Cinemarks or whatever. But a lot of conflicting thoughts on this one. But Michael, what do you think about that right off the cuff?
It's hard to even imagine what their plan is. Netflix isn't known for movie releases or anything like that. So, do you know any information? Are they going to do, like, Netflix release parties at these theaters, or, like, movie and TV show drops, and so you binge it, or
I don't know. So far, it's, like, really vague. It's just we know they're thinking about launching a theater chain, which sounds kind of weird for me. And I went through and I was looking at the other theater chains trying to find out, does any other theater chain, are they also a studio? The only one that is AMC.
Huh.
And they produce and distribute their own indie films. But, like, Netflix puts out things like Bright, which is, well, we'll just let that be aside. But they put out, like, movies that are supposed to be, like, blockbusters. So, like, I'm kind of wondering, Are they gonna push Netflix movies like Manchester by the Sea that came out like 2 years ago? You know, would they? That's an Amazon Studios movie. Are they gonna put that out? Like, would they give that the same kind of attention that a Netflix movie would get? You know, it just seems kind of like there's a lot of conflict of interest. And then the whole aspect of exactly what you're talking about is it just gonna be a big Netflix party where they just push their own shows and movies?
Yeah, that has to work itself out a bit. I'm curious to see what they have in mind, though.
And I'll put the challenge out there. Can somebody name me one good Netflix movie, like one largely well-received Netflix movie. And I can't think of a single one.
I don't think
they've had good shows. No. But I can't think of a single good movie. Like, you were sitting right next to me. I cried multiple times during Manchester by the Sea. That was an Amazon movie.
Yeah.
And I forget, Amazon did another movie, and maybe it'll come to me later. But, like, Amazon has a good track record with movies. And Netflix has so far just been, I don't know, they're just going for the base hit, or they're punting.
They know what
bunting or whatever.
They know what they're good at, and they're sticking to it.
Yeah, and they've got solid shows. I mean, I think it would be cool, you know, if they're like, okay, well, you know, if you come to our location at XYZ place, we're gonna release the entire. We're gonna do a complete showing of Stranger Things season 3. You know, and that, like, that would be cool, but that's not enough to draw, like, to run a major movie chain.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how I feel about that, but so this one, Michael, I know you're not really familiar with this.
This is
so
all you. I don't even know what any of this is.
Yeah, I figured it would be that way, but I did want to mention it. Is speaking of Amazon, since I mentioned them a few times here, Amazon's developing East of West and a transhuman TV show from writer Jonathan Hickman. Now, Jonathan Hickman is a comic book writer, and he's very well known for some of his Marvel runs that he's done recently. He's got a lot of independent work. But these are really, to kind of give you a preface, Michael, these are grand scale shows. These are things that I could see them looking at these two properties and thinking these could be our Game of Thrones, which I think a lot of studios are trying to do these days. But East of West, just to give you a quick synopsis, East of West is about, essentially, it's a world where the Civil War never ended.
Huh.
And a meteor striked Earth, and every warring faction in the Civil War, so there's like seven nations, I think, they all basically sign an armistice, which they, you know, put a stalemate on everything. And it's like this dystopian kind of Western show, but it's like the sci-fi Western where you've got like robot dogs that can turn into sniper rifles, and there's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they're trying to bring about the apocalypse. And Death, I'm not spoiling anything, Death has a child with a human woman, and she and then this group that signed the armistice, they become this group that's like the trust or the messengers, I think, and they steal away Death's child because it's part of the prophecy. It's crazy. It's huge in scope. It's so dense, and I frankly don't think that they should do this show, if I'm being honest. And it's a book that I love. It's a book that I have read. Actually, I recently stopped reading the book probably like 2 or 3 months ago because I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for trades because it's so dense.
Yeah.
And I don't think that this is a good idea. Transhuman is more about like manufacturing humans, corporations competing. It's a little bit more relatable. It'd be probably easier. I think it would be like a la Altered Carbon. Are you familiar with that Netflix show that just came out?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, so it could be something like that where it's just kind of like a sci-fi drama. But these are two very ambitious shows for Netflix or Amazon, but Amazon has a much, I mean, what do you think? Who do you think has a better track record with original programming?
For TV shows or just in general?
Yeah, I guess just in general, but I guess specifically TV shows.
Gosh, it's tough. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely their own battle because, Netflix and Amazon, I mean, they're kind of neck and neck right now, in my opinion. And I think we mentioned two episodes back, HBO, or not HBO, Hulu is actually starting to get in there with some good releases, releases too, but I would probably still have to tip the cap to Netflix only because I'm more familiar, but I have been enjoying exploring Amazon a bit.
They got some good shows. But let's speed through a bit of news here. So we've got a Wonder Woman 2 will actually be taking place in the 80s. So, and just to add a little wrinkle to this, Chris Pine is returning.
Oh, really?
So, I don't really know. This is kind of the continuing saga of, does DC really know what they're doing?
No.
Because in Justice League, which takes place in the present day, she's still referencing Steve Trevor, who was Chris Pine in the original movie, in this lost love, but then he's gonna be back in the 80s, so what?
Yeah, that's, I don't, yeah, ugh. DC is just, I have no idea. It's like a rich kid who has all the resources in the world to do whatever he wants, and he just can't do anything well.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing. But it is, Patty Jenkins is coming back. It's Gal Gadot. It's the entire Wonder Woman crew. I just think that, like, I don't think that Patty Jenkins doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
I think that DC as a whole just cannot put anything together properly. And, man. And so this will kind of transition us into our next bit of news here. You know, Wonder Woman is part of the Trinity. The DC Trinity. It's Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman. That's the Trinity. Those are the main characters from that universe, like the most popular characters. And yet Marvel is now working on an Eternals movie and bringing the Moon Knight into MCU.
Huh.
So just to give you a little preface here, Michael, Moon Knight is basically a crazy Batman with multiple personalities who's like a fan favorite for a lot of people. He's got quite a bit of a cult following. Oh. And Eternals are basically like a group of people that are like Superman. So it's just, there's not much news here. They're working on Eternals, they're working on Moon Knight, but it's just crazy to me that DC is still struggling with their main draws. And Marvel now, I mean, short, you know, after Infinity War, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this episode, still can't, like, they're working on like totally obscure characters that I barely even know.
Yeah.
Oh, but speaking of Disney, Disney released their next 18 movies that are coming out between now and the end of 2019.
This is insane. Yeah.
What a freaking run, too. So
I was so surprised I thought it was a typo when you said to the end of 2019. Because this is,
yeah.
I like, oh my gosh, I don't know how many people they have working on this, but this list is crazy.
So here's a game we'll play. You, when we're done, when I go through this list, I'll list off everything. You tell me which movies you aren't going to see.
Yeah.
Or, like, don't look appealing to you. So we've got Avengers Infinity War, which is obviously out now. Solo, A Star Wars Story. Incredibles 2. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Christopher Robin. The Nutcracker in the Four Realms. Ralph Breaks the Internet. Mary Poppins Returns. Captain Marvel. Dumbo. Penguins. Avengers 4. Aladdin. Toy Story 4. Lion King. Artemis Fowl, Frozen 2, and Star Wars Episode 9.
Okay, so
what the freaking stacked list. Anyways, sorry, go ahead.
The only thing I wouldn't see, only because I don't know what it is Artemis Fowl.
Yeah, everything else is name brand, like on brand for them. You know what it is. Like even the Nutcracker in the Four Realms.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I know largely what it is.
It just feels like it needs to have Charlize Theron in it for some reason. I don't know why.
But she's got to wear that. She's got to, like, get ugly like she did for Monster.
Yeah.
But every single one of these, like, the only thing that I probably won't end up... No, see, I think even, like, Dumbo...
Oh, yeah.
And Penguins, I'll probably end up seeing because of my kids. But, like, Mary Poppins, I want to see that. That looks good.
Sure. Emily Blunt.
Mm. So, yeah. And Ralph Breaks the Internet, that's good. Christopher Robin probably could skip. But, I mean, look at the heavy hitters here. A Star Wars show, movie. Incredibles. Ant-Man. Then you've got... Then, like, the most obscure thing on here is Captain Marvel. Then you've got them recreating Aladdin. Toy Story 4 is going to go gangbusters.
I'm confused by Avengers. They want to do another Avengers by the end of 19?
You won't be confused when you see Avengers next week with me.
Oh, okay.
It's a two-parter.
Oh, okay.
And then they have Frozen 2, which Frozen was like the highest grossing animated movie for like ever. Lion King, one of the most beloved animated movies, next to Toy Story. Like, this is insane. What other studio puts out stuff like this?
Seriously. Oh, not Sony.
Oh my God. Yeah, definitely not Sony. So let's move on to our last bit of news before we take a break to the trailer park here. And it's a little bit of sad news. I want to save it for last because I felt like it needed its proper due. Vern Troyer passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Vern Troyer, unfortunately known for Shasta McNasty, and also Mini-Me, and it's very sad to, I think that we might have heard details of his death, but I'm not too interested in that. I just it's always sad to see somebody in Hollywood go.
Yeah, especially someone who kind of struggled in life and, you know, didn't have a good outlet for it, and so he kind of took it out on himself, it sounds like.
Yeah, and that's just unfortunate. I hate seeing that, especially leaving in such a tragic manner, but I just wish the best for his family and all those close to him, because that's not fair, unfortunately, but it does happen.
Same weekend Avicii died. I know you love Avicii.
Yep. Totally into it. Know exactly who you're talking about.
The 28-year-old British DJ?
VJ?
DJ.
Yeah, voice jockey.
D?
Oh, DJ. No. Nope. Okay, let's take a trip to the trailer park. That's my out here. So we've got what?
Venom.
Ooh, Michael, are you so excited?
No, the I trailer looks like awful.
You were at the edge of your seat. I know you were so excited.
At the end of that trailer when like that mask thing forms over his face, I was like, "Oh my gosh, that looks awful."
Okay, good. We're on the same page here. And the funny thing is like my brother is so excited about this, and he's like, "It looks amazing." I'm like, "Dude, this looks terrible."
Yeah,
and did you see the first trailer?
Yeah, I believe I did.
So essentially, everything that they showed, like cars flipping, him like screaming in the MRI machine, that was all just like they didn't have the CGI put in, mm-hmm. So they just like were like, well, here's what we have before the CGI effects. This looks so bad.
It's like a different movie.
Oh, and it's Sony, of course, so it's going to be overwrought with references, and they're going to try and build up to a larger world or something, I'm sure. But
I just feel bad for Tom Hardy. He probably read that script and was like, oh, yeah, this sounds great. And oh,
or Riz Ahmed? Yeah. Riz Ahmed, who's in the movie too, it's like, what? Oh, so the CGI to me, when did Spider-Man 3 came out in 08, 07?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 08. These CGI graphics look exactly the same as 2008 Spider-Man. Like, they don't look any better, and it's 8 years later. How does it look that bad? It just, either they're really rushing this, or that's how it's going to look in the theater, and it looks terrible.
No good. I don't like it.
Jeez. Well, what do you think about Jurassic World? Fallen Kingdom. The final trailer came out.
I mean, I'm going to see it. And it has Chris Pratt, so I got to hope it. It's going to be... I'm going to enjoy it for whatever it's worth. It's just...
It's going to be a real romp.
I hope they don't just rinse and repeat. And Jeff Goldblum's in it, so that'll be kind of nice.
So the initial trailer made you kind of... Like, I thought that everything was going to take place on the island. And now it's not Benedict Wong. What's his name? I can't remember the guy who has turned into a mad scientist, but they're like auctioning off this dinosaur, and it seems like from the trailer we only really saw the first like half of the movie, or things from the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Seems like there might be like a whole other half. And I fell asleep the first time I saw Jurassic World. And my wife recently rewatched it, and I just didn't pay attention at all.
Yeah.
So I don't really care for Jurassic World, but this actually makes me a little more excited. I think there might be something that might draw me back. But the question always remains, why did they keep doing this to themselves?
Who knows? Ugh.
When are they going to learn? Oh, but you want to know somebody who has learned a lesson, Michael?
Oh, geez. Nice setup.
Is Denzel Washington, because he is absolutely following in the footsteps of Liam Neeson.
Gosh.
In making B action movies. And we got an Equalizer 2 trailer.
I thought this was a joke.
No, but did you ever see the first one?
Oh, yeah, with Chloe Moretz.
Yeah, or she's a prostitute, I think.
Oh, no, she wasn't a prostitute. She was way too young to be a prostitute.
No, wasn't she a prostitute in the first one?
Oh, my gosh, I think you might be right, actually.
Can you look it up? I swear that she was a prostitute, and he, like...
I don't have to look it up. I remember them sitting at a little diner, and she's like...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, she's supposed to be, like, some kind of, post 18-year-old fantasy for men or whatever, but
yeah,
he's back now. So like, that's the funny thing. Like, this is taken the Taken, well, not no pun intended. This has taken the Taken route of movies where it goes like it's just a dude and he's kind of in this crazy situation. He has these skills and he like helps out somebody like, and then the next movie is. He's taking down the entire, like, Irish mob or whatever it is. I don't even remember what it was. But, like, this is just ramped up exponentially. I enjoyed the Equalizer 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure how I'm feeling about this one. Did you?
I'm not.
Are you going to?
No, I'm not going to see this.
Is this even a MoviePass movie for you?
I wouldn't think. I mean, I would have to be bored. Real bored.
And you'd have to be, like, within walking distance of a theater.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not going to drive to a theater to go see The Equalizer 2, are you?
No, someone would have to, like, physically pick me up and take me there.
Denzel could.
Oh, he probably could.
Because he's God in these movies.
Oh, that's right. Look out.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be entertaining, but... I'm probably going to check this out when it comes for free on HBO or whatever.
I'll probably watch the first 20 minutes and then fall asleep or something at home.
Yeah, exactly. That's like a five beers deep movie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right, Michael. Well, let's get into the gist of the show. The reason people mainly listen, probably, maybe. But we've got a huge list of things coming out between now and the mid-month of May. So, I'm thinking, let's just go through the list. If we hit anything that you want to talk about, just stop me and say it. But otherwise, I'll just run through the list.
You got it.
So, starting May 1st, Netflix.
I'll probably so you can read through a day, and then I'll just stay. Once you read through one day, I'll say what stands out.
I was gonna say, do you want me to stop at the end of a day, and then you can stop and bring up the ones that you liked?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So we'll let's just start here. May 1st. So we've got 27 Gone Too Soon. Don't know what that is. A Life of Its Own, The Truth About Medical Marijuana, Amelie. We've got Barbie Dreamhouse Adventure Season 1. Michael, you got anything about that one?
Pass.
We've got Beautiful Girls, Dark, God's Own Country, Hatchy, A Dog's Tale, Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, High School Musical 3, Senior Year, John Mulaney, Kid Gorgeous, Live at Radio City, Mr. Woodcock, My Perfect Romance, excuse me. I'm going to screw this up. Pocoyo and Cars, Pocoyo and the Space Circus, Queens of Comedy Season 1, Reasonable Doubt, Red Dragon, Scream 2, Shrek, Simon Season 1, Sliding Doors, Sometimes, The Bourne Ultimatum, The Carter Effect, The Clapper, The Reaping, The Strange Name Movie, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc-V Season 2.
So I'm almost positive, but I think Netflix took Amelie off of Netflix in April, like at the start of April, and now they're bringing it back for May. So that's kind of weird, but that's a top 10 movie for me. So I definitely recommend that if you haven't seen
it. What's that about?
You'd probably recognize the cover. It's, gosh, is she French? I'm not entirely sure. It's just about kind of like observations from this quiet girl. And, you know, I've never been asked to describe what this movie's like. And I honestly have I really don't know. It's just fascinating, and it's a beautiful movie. Lighthearted, very comedic in many ways. But check that out. I mean, if you're smoking marijuana or drinking too much beer, probably watch Harold and Kumar. Hellboy 2, I liked the Hellboys.
I'm going to chime in on this one, too. Yeah. Keep going. I agree with you.
I don't know anyone who doesn't own Shrek on DVD, but if you don't, I mean, who hasn't seen Shrek either? But if you just want some nostalgia, check that out. The Bourne Ultimatum's okay. Fantastic, too, and I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit on the three that I had highlighted for this month or for that week. But Hellboy 2 is especially one to call out here. I believe Hellboy 1 is still on Netflix, but Golden Army, in my opinion, is the better movie of the two. It has possibly one of my favorite interpretations of a tooth fairy in it. You'll see that probably within the first 30 minutes of the movie. But Hellboy 2, The Golden Army is one of Guillermo del Toro's best movies.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Go out of your way. Watch Hellboy 1 to give you kind of a feel for the world. It's all practical. It's very, I want to say it's very Pan's Labyrinth, but Pan's Labyrinth is very Hellboy. They're all just like these very practical monsters and this kind of crazy world. And Guillermo del Toro has just this like H.R. Geiger level of just kind of weird sensibility. But I mean weird in a very positive way. He's just got a very eclectic taste in terms of monster design, which works very well for him. And then Shrek, obviously, check out Shrek. Come on. If you haven't seen Shrek, let me know online, because I would love to know who hasn't seen this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, Shrek is great. It's like the last great Michael Myers performance, one of the last great Eddie Murphy performances.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. And then Bourne Ultimatum, obviously check that out but don't watch Ultimatum unless you've seen the other
two. Do that.
So now from here on out it just gets smaller and smaller here. And that's May 2nd. We've got Jailbreak, Avail, Anon, Busted Season 1, Dear White People Volume 2, Endgame, Forgive Us Our Debts, Kong, King of the Apes, Season 2, Los Más Cielo, Es Caplero, I probably butchered that, Caplicaro, Toto. We've got Manhunt. My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman, Tina Fey, No Estoy Loca, and The Rain, Season 1. Any of those stick out to you?
Not a single one, actually. I've heard decent things about My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, but I haven't checked that out yet, so I probably can't speak to it. But based on reviews, perhaps check that out. And that, I mean, May 2nd, I think your day is open.
So my Next Guest Needs No Introduction is a show that is very well received. I believe he interviewed Barack Obama for the first one, and the second one's Jay-Z. But Tina Fey is going to be the one that pulls me into this because I love Tina Fey.
Yeah.
But I actually like Barack Obama too. In terms of you know, outside of political stuff, I enjoy him kind of as a person. I don't know if you've watched any Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Michael.
Oh, the whole thing, yeah.
So he's great in his episode, and so is Tina Fey. So it's kind of like the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee bump. You know, it's drawn me in. So it's not that I've been reluctant, I just haven't had time.
Sure.
But then another one I'm going to call, and it's a show that I'm personally very excited for, is The Rain. I'm very much into horror right now. And this is basically a series where the rain is toxic or something. I mean, it's very vague. It's definitely a foreign show, so it's all dubbed. But I've been looking forward to this show for a couple months now. And looks to be some people trying to stay out of the rain, and there's people who might be the cure to it. I don't know, but I'm very excited for The Rain. As much as I don't know about it, I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah.
So, moving on, we got May 5th, Faces Places.
No idea.
Okay, moving on. May 6th, Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale. Obviously, check that out. We've already talked about that to death.
Every week, so good.
It never fails. I've never had a bad Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale.
Yeah.
It's been great. Next, we have May 8th. We've got... Sorry, I just had to check my recording here. I thought I stopped recording for a second. That scared me. May 8th, we've got Desolation and Hari Kondabolu, Warm Relatives. You see that?
Yep.
I'm assuming that's a comedy.
Oh, okay. I don't know about either of those. The next few days, actually, I'm striking out.
Okay, so we'll just run through them real quick. May 9th, we have a Dirty Girl, or Dirty Girl, not a Dirty Girl. We don't have a Dirty Girl here.
No.
Then we've got Bill Nye Saves the World, Season 3, Evil Genius, The True Story of America's Most Diabolical Bank Heist, Spirit Riding Free, Season 5, The Kissing Booth, The Who Was Show, Season 1. May 13th, we've got All Wong, Hard Knock Wife. And May 14th, we have Phantom of the Opera. So is there anything that sticks out for you coming out?
If you're looking for a romantic evening in with Gerard Butler wearing a mask, perhaps watch The Phantom of the Opera. I don't remember being a fan of it as much as I remember making out during it. So if you're looking for a makeout sesh, put that in. Also, I'm all about the documentary, so Evil Genius sounds pretty interesting. So why not? Diabolical Bank Heist? Sign me up.
Okay, and then we'll run through here real quick the what's leaving Netflix now. And just to be clear, we're just covering the first 15 days of the month. So, you know, we'll cover the next 15 days next episode. What's leaving Netflix May 1st is Bridget Jones' Diary, Casper, Chappie, Charlotte's Web, Field of Dreams, Goodfellas, Ocean's 11, Sahara, Silent Hill, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, The Hurt Locker, and To Roam with Love. Michael, anything that people should check out before the end of the month?
Oh, sure. I mean, Charlotte's Web is a childhood classic, so definitely check that out. Goodfellas, I mean, that's a top 50 movie on IMDb.
Yep.
Ocean's 11, why not? Sahara, you want an all right, all right, all right movie? Then all right, watch it. gosh, there's some scary ones on here I wouldn't watch, but I'm sure you're into. And one we both probably like, that's sad to see leave, is The Hurt Locker.
To Roam with Love.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot. Yeah, no, The Hurt Locker is Catherine Bigelow. What I believe will go down as one of the greatest, like, wartime movies.
Oh, yeah.
Catherine Bigelow, James Cameron's wife. You probably know her. I mean, she did this, and she did, God, what else? She's done a ton of work.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. Yeah, she's a fantastic director.
Yeah.
Anyways, Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner, classic. Build It, They Will Come. Take it off Netflix and they will come. Go watch that movie. Ocean's 11, one of my favorite Steven Soderbergh movies. Absolutely check that out. And then Silent Hill and Exorcism of Emily Rose. Two very different horror movies, but both very... Exorcism of Emily Rose is a very good horror movie. Silent Hill is just more of a fluff movie, but it's still fun to watch. May 2nd, we've got 12 Dates of Christmas, Beauty in the Briefcase, Cadet Kelly, Camp Rock, sorry, Cadet Kelly, Camp Rock, Camp Rock 2, Cowbellies, Cyberbully, The Cheetah Girls 1 through 3, apparently, Frenemies, Geek Charming, Good Luck Charlie, Hello Sister, Goodbye Life, High School Musical 1 and 2, Jump In, Lemonade Mouth, Little Einsteins Season 1 and 2, My Fake Fiance, a couple Phineas and Ferb movies, Phineas and Ferb season 1 through 4, Princess Protection Program, Princess, A Modern Day Fairy Tale, Read It and Weep, Revenge of the Bridesmaids, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, Special Agent Oso season 1 and 2, Starstruck, Teen Spirit, Secret Life of the American Teenager season 1 through 5, Wendy Wu, Homecoming Warrior, and Wizards of Waverly Place. The movie.
That was a long list for me to say. There's nothing on there.
Yeah, I know. I'm same deal. I don't care about it.
I know. Maybe I know there's
Kelly.
I know there's people out there who like High School Musical. I think I was a little too old when it got popular. But I mean, I guess if you're into that, check it out.
Yeah, there's really nothing that I can even pretend to justify. So let's move on. May 7th, The Host.
I
did you see that?
I'm a huge fan of Saoirse Ronan, so yeah, I saw it in theater day one. It's also a decent book. The Host.
Wait.
Check it out.
Oh, no. I was thinking, what's the Korean movie? The with the monster. What's that called?
Oh, I don't know.
Isn't that called The Host?
Oh, more than likely. This is one where they have like an alien that harbors or something.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I like it. Just for the purpose of Saoirse Ronan.
I thought it was the Korean movie.
No.
The Korean horror movie, which I was like, you started talking. I was like, oh, yeah, of course you know it, because we both know Brian Morgan. But
yeah.
No, okay, that's unfortunate. May 12th, Talladega Nights. Absolutely.
For sure.
Drop what you're doing and watch Talladega Nights. If you haven't seen it.
I'm not going to say anything more. That's it. Go watch it right now.
Second best Will Ferrell movie of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe third. Elf, Office, or not Office Space, Anchorman, and then probably Talladega Nights.
I just can't do Elf.
Elf is great.
I don't have
kids. It's got your girl, dude.
She broke my heart.
Siri, is it raining outside?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Let's run through this for Amazon here. So we've got Amazon. Coming to Amazon, May 1st. 3 Ways to Get a Husband. 40 Days, 40 Nights. A Very Brady Sequel. AI, Artificial Intelligence. An Inconvenient Truth. Baby Boom. Back to School. Bad News Bears. Barefoot. Beyond Borders. Blame. Brother Nature. Bull Dunham. Sorry. Cool World. Cyborg. Diamonds Are Forever. Dr. No. 8 Men Out. Elizabethtown. Evolution, Foxfire, Frailty, From Russia with Love, Gator, Ghost Town, Goat, holy smokes, this is a long list, Goldfinger, Holy Air, Hot Boys, Immigration Tango, Insomnia, Iron Eagle, 5, On the Attack, California with a K, Live and Let Die, Love is a Gun, Manhunter, Men with Brooms, Murder on the Orient Express, oh, I didn't notice that, Never Say Never Again, New Rose Hotel, Ninja Masters, Octopussy, Outcast, Perfect Score, Perfume, Story of a Murder, Psychopaths, Race for Your Lives, Rocky 1 through 5, Sabrina, Saturday Church, School Ties, Set Up, Starting Out in the Evening, Strategic Air, The Benchwarmers, The Benefactor, The Box, The Brady Bunch Movie, The Counterfeit Trader, The Crow, The Elephant Man, The Gold Compass, The Hangman, The House I Live in, The Hurt Locker, The Last Castle, and The Legend of Bagger Vance, The Man with the Golden Gun, The Saint, The Spy Who Loved Me, I Thought I Was Almost Done, The Thief, Thirst Street, Thunderball, Twisted, Untamed Hearts, Wild Thornberries, Wish Upon a Star, Wonder Boys, You Only Live Once, Aristocrats, Banished, Charles II, Daniel DeRorda, David Copperfield, Desperate Romantics, Ivanhoe, Jane Eyre, 1983, Jane Eyre, 2006, Life of the Squares, Little Dormant, Laura Dune, Love in the Cold Climate, Mansfield Park, Martin Something, Middlemarch, Oliver Twist, 1985, Oliver Twist, 2007, Our Mutual Friend, Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, 1981, Sense and Sensibility, 2008, Sinbad, Tests of the Deburla, The Buchanans, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, The Lost World, The Office, The Pickwick Papers, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, The Way We Live Now, Tom Jones, Vanity Fair. Holy smokes. Michael, let's get down to it. Is there anything that stood out for you?
I'll just run through this quick. The Office, for obvious reasons, fantastic. Yep. I'm a fan of Pride and Prejudice. I have a soft spot. The original Oliver Twist, 1985, is fantastic. If you haven't seen that, do yourself a service. My wife and I love Jane Eyre. So the 2006 limited series was great. I actually haven't seen the 1983, so I can almost guarantee that we're going to watch that. I grew up watching Wild Thornberries, so I was really excited when I saw that on the list. I haven't even thought of that. The Hurt Locker, we already talked about that, so obviously, why not? The Golden Compass, I'm assuming that's C.S. Lewis. I haven't seen it, but I should see it, so I'll probably check that out. The Elephant...
No, isn't the Golden Compass the one with like really heavy Catholic Church, anti-Catholic Church overtones?
Oh, well, in that case, I don't know.
In that case, I still hold true to my recommendation.
Yeah. The Elephant Man is a fantastic movie. You should check that out.
But you should warn people, it's a fantastic movie if you're a fan of Criterion level movies. If it's a slow movie,
yeah, it is.
It is a great acted movie, but it's black and white. It's
tearjerker.
It's very slow, and it can be dry at times.
Yeah,
not in a bad way. Not in a bad way, but it just, I feel like if you're gonna recommend The Elephant Man to people, you really need to kind of warn them what they're walking into.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a. Yeah, maybe the best thing about Amazon is you can watch the trailer first. So perhaps watch the trailer and see if it's something that you're up for. Maybe grab some Haagen-Dazs and some tissues. Benchwarmers wasn't a great comedy, but I mean, that's like I've had four beers, my wife's out of town, I got to put something on. So put the Benchwarmers on. If your wife's out of town for an entire week and you feel like you're, I don't know, being a little girly and not knowing what to do with your life, man up and watch all five Rockies, because apparently you're going to be able to in May. Then it kind of drops off for me. Anything? Goldfinger was okay. Elizabethtown? maybe that's a little stretch, but I don't mind it. And
Kirsten Dunst, right?
Yeah.
And not Orlando Bloom. Didn't they get somebody else to do it?
Yeah, I don't really remember.
Oh, God, I forget who they did. No, it was supposed to be somebody, but then it ended up being Orlando Bloom. But anyways, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Then my last one, 40 Days, 40 Nights. I thought that was kind of good. I was 12 when it came out, and I remember
thinking, that's a Josh Hartnett?
Yeah, he doesn't masturbate for 40 Days and 40 Nights, and women are tempting him to, so he loses the bet. And I mean, it's probably a terrible movie,
What a great triumph of cinema.
Yeah.
I'll run through here. These are actually a few. The first two are going to be the ones that I am going to check out. I'm on a big Shyamalan kick right now, as we'll talk about later. But so that translates to I love Haley Joel Osment. And I really want to check out AI. I've never watched it before. It's a Steven Spielberg movie. I know that's not Shyamalan, but Haley Joel Osment is on my radar right now again. Insomnia. I'm big into Stephen King right now as well. And I really want to watch that movie. Oh, but maybe they're not related. Maybe it's not related to the movie or the book. I don't know. Might just sound like an idiot. But anyways, looking forward to Al Pacino. Oh, wow. Rocky, obviously, if you've got time, Rocky 1 through 4 are definitely worth your time. Spare yourself the pain of 5. And then check out, what was the Creed? Great one. The Crow, Brandon Lee. Fantastic movie. It's great. If you love like really, really dark, moody, like gothic superhero stuff, like you'll enjoy it. Brandon Lee's great. It's his last performance. He actually died in one of the scenes, which is kind of crazy. We already talked about The Hurt Locker, and then that is it for me. And I'll just run through these last ones, Michael. I don't know if you have anything, but May 4th, we've got Last Flag Flying, an Amazon original movie. Warrior, Diablo Guardian, Season 1. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Season 1. And May 12th, we've got Baywatch, Still Mine, and Orphan Black, Season 5. I want to watch Baywatch because I've heard it is a train wreck, and I would love to see the train wreck. And then Orphan Black is a series that I have intended for so long to get into, but I just have not. But I've heard it's fantastic.
Yeah, the only one that stands out here is Warrior. I think that's the Tom Hardy movie.
Yeah, the boxing one or the MMA one or something.
It wasn't anything great, but it might be worth your time just to watch it if you're, I don't know, if you like Tom Hardy. I guess you probably should watch it then. It's okay.
Okay. Well, we've got Leaving. So 50-50. Amelie? Amelie, how do we say it? You said it perfectly.
It's Amelie.
Amelie. So going on to Netflix, Leaving Amazon. American Idiots, Avenging Force, Black Belly of the Tarantula, Bloodstained Shadow, Bolero, Capote, Case of the Bloody Girls, or Bloody Iris, Chicago Diamond Edition, The Church, Coming Soon, Contamination, Death Dream, The Fifth Chord, Fire and Ice, The Firm, Flawless, Ghost Gillian, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Hamlet, Harsh Times, The Haunting, He Said, She Said, The Heroin Busters, Hoodlum, The House of Cemetery, The House by the Cemetery, Intersection, Larger Than Life, Lulu on the Bridge, Macabre, Man on Ledge, Mermaids, Mystic Pizza, The Nesting, Night of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead Resurrection, The Officer, An Officer and a Gentleman, Return of the Evil Dead, Rollerball, Running Scared, Sabrina, Shape of Things to Come, She's All That, Shockwaves, Show of Force, Slow Burn, Some Like It Hot, Steel Magnolia, The Stendhal Syndrome, Terms of Endearment, Things You Can Tell Just by Looking at Her, Tombs of the Blind Dead, Troy Director's Cut, Two Evil Eyes, The Family House, The Warriors, Vampire Land, Where's the Fair, and Zombie. I'll just start here, Michael. So definitely, if you haven't seen it, if you have the time, and this is definitely a movie you need to sit down with little distraction. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Clint Eastwood classic. Like, obviously, check that out. The whole Man with No Name series, if you ever get the chance. But The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a great way to start. It's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A few dollars, or a fistful of dollars, and a few dollars more, I believe, is the Man with No Name trilogy. And absolutely worth your time. Capote is a movie that I have always wanted to watch because I love Philip Seymour Hoffman. I just have never gotten around to that one movie. And then really, it's just kind of a wish list of things I do want to watch before they leave. I'm kind of in a weird place where I want to watch Julia Roberts movies. I don't know why. I just kind of have a desire to watch Julia Roberts movies. So I really want to watch Mystic Pizza. It's a movie that always has perplexed me, but I really want to see it now. I honestly cannot explain to you why. Running Scared is, oh gosh, who are the two leads in this one? Billy Crystal and, oh God, his name is escaping me. I can't remember, but it's a buddy cop movie, kind of one of the original buddy cop movies. That's one I want to watch. Sabrina, if you love Melissa Joan Hart. I did. I loved her as Clarissa, and that was a fine movie. She's All That, Freddie Prinze Jr., a little Matthew Lillard, like high on cocaine, like doing the worm. Did you ever see that movie, Michael?
No, I haven't.
You've never seen She's All That?
Oh, She's All That. Oh, I thought you were talking about something else. Yeah, I love it. I mean, Paul Walker. Nostalgic, yeah.
Paul Walker's in that movie. Freddie Prinze, man. I wish that guy was in more things.
Yeah.
And then Troy, if you want a big, dumb movie that shows Brad Pitt's butt. I mean, it's big, it's dumb, it's heavy on action, it's so stylized, so dumb. But if you're looking for something just put on and that you could just like kind of tune into as you're like cleaning your house or like scrubbing your floors or something, Troy's great. So, Michael, anything that stands out to you?
I agree with everything that you said. The only one I would add is Some Like It Hot, the 1959 movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, it's fantastic. Nothing more to say than that. Just check that out and everything that Matt said, too.
Okay. Hulu. Three Ways to Get a Husband. Nightmare on Elm Street series. Barry Brady movie series. Baby Boom, Back to School, Barefoot, The Beatles, The Box, Booty Call, Breakable You, Bride and Prejudice, not to be confused with Pride and Prejudice, Bill Dunham, The Counterfeit Traitor, The Crow series, Demolition Man, Dirty Pretty Things, 8 Men Out, Elizabethtown, Emperor, Executive Decision, Foxfire, Gator, Godzilla, The Hangman, Here to Be Heard, Hot Boys, The House I Live In, Immigration Tango, Iron Eagle, California with a K, Lost in Vagueness, Love is a Gun, Melina, Man of the House, Manhunter, Mansfield Park, The Matrix series, Men in Black 2, Men with Brooms, Never Back Down, New Guy, New Rose Hotel, Ninja Masters, No Greater Love, The Pallbearer, Pink Panther, Predator, Priest, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, Rocky series, School Ties, Setup, She's All That, Starting Out the Evening, Strategic Air Command, The Swan Series, Thief, To Rome with Love, Traffic, Untamed Heart, Valkyrie, and Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Michael, what sticks out to you?
There's a lot of repeats here, so I'll stick away from everything you guys already know. There's one movie in the Matrix series that you should watch, and that's the first one.
Second that.
Gosh, and you know, it's like picking through crap for an earring. There's a whole lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky, She's All That, that's all repeats. You know, you see that. The Crow. But I would say, like, Godzilla. I don't know, and it didn't really say if it was the 2014 or the 1995 one.
Yeah.
Either way, I enjoyed Matthew Broderick in the 1995 one. And what's his name? He was the the professional.
Jean. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Can't think of his name. But anyways, check those out. Those are good. So
even though I don't like horror, but I do like A Nightmare on Elm Street. So that might be worth checking out, too.
Yeah, yeah, no, agreed. May 5th, we've got Drunk History, Season 5, Mobile Suit Gundam, Season 1, The Longest Week, Warrior. May 7th, we have Star vs. the Forces of Evil, Season 3. May 8th, Running Wild with Bear Grylls. Mm-hmm. May 9th, we've got Tagged, Season 2. May 11th, All Night, Season 1, Claws, Season 1, and Bleeding Heart, Season 1, and Into the Fade. May 12th, we've got Baywatch, Frank Serpico, Jane, Still Mine, Talladega Nights, and May 13th, we have Tonight She Comes. Anything on that list stand out for you that we haven't already talked about?
The last one sounds inappropriate, but May 8th, Running Wild with Bear Grylls. If you don't watch Bear Grylls, or if you don't like Bear Grylls, don't listen to this podcast because he's amazing. I have never watched Drunk History, but I think I've heard it's funny, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it kind of used up its bit pretty quickly.
That's too bad.
But it's never really seemed appealing to me. But anyways, you ready to move on to Hulu? The last one? Or no, shoot. We know we've got to finish Hulu, and then we're going to move on to HBO. We'll be done here pretty quickly. Okay, so leaving Hulu. We've got April 30th, All Dogs Go to Heaven 1 and 2. How do we say it again?
Amelie.
American Idiots, An Officer and a Gentleman, Asterix and Obelix, Miss Cleopatra. I don't know what the heck that is. Avenging Force, Bolero, Capote, Coming Soon, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, Depraved Decadence, Excess Baggage. Oh, that is a Alicia Silverstone movie. Fire with Fire, A Few Dollars More, Hamlet, Harsh Times, He Said, She Said, Hoodlum, Intersection, Keeping Up with the Steins, Kung Fu Hustle, Larger Than Life, Look Who's Talking 1 and 2, Look Who's Talking Now, Lulu on the Bridge, Mystic Pizza, Red State, Red Line, Running Scared, Sabrina, Show of Force, Things You Can Tell Just by Looking at a Traitor, and Two Family House. I'll start this one off. Definitely. I wouldn't even say if you're a child of the 80s, but it would help. All Dogs Go to Heaven, 1 and 2. Absolutely. They're so good. They're so, like, but they're just such a stark change from the typical Disney movie of the time.
Oh, yeah.
I love the aesthetic of those movies, and I just love how different they are from, like, the Peter Pans and Aladdins. Not that I hate that, because I love Disney movies. I grew up on them. We're Disney family. But All Dogs Go to Heaven is great. Then I'm going to jump down here. Kung Fu Hustle. Can't name for you a single person in the movie, but damn it, I love Kung Fu Hustle. It's like totally exaggerated Kung Fu, but it's so exaggerated, they clearly know that they're exaggerating.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just fun, and it's dumb, and you can have a really good time with it. Then Look Who's Talking and Look Who's Talking 2. I don't really care for Look Who's Talking Now, but John Travolta, Christy Alley. Come on. Get it together. This is like the heyday of early 90s movies.
Oh, for sure.
And that's all I have for those. So anything you think people should check out?
I mean, you covered everything I would have. Luckily for you, it's coming to Amazon, but if you want to watch it soon, you, Matt, should probably check out Capote before it leaves.
I do. Is it good?
I would probably watch, if you're a huge fan of Philip Seymour Hoffman, this is the movie that he won an Oscar for, so I think it'd be worth it in that regard. It's a little slow, and it's a little uncomfortable just because his character is just...
His voice.
His voice and his flamboyant tendencies.
I can't even do it.
It's weird, but I think it's worthwhile, and I think I'll be watching it again. I loved Philip Seymour Hoffman, and so I just, one of those remember him by watching him thing.
Yeah. All right, well, let's hit the last one, then let's get out of here. So this is a shorter list, and this is HBO. So you've got A Sound of Thunder, Avatar, Cleopatra, Dead Calm, Dude, Where's My Car, Eurotrip, Garden State, can't even pronounce this, Hyori, I think, In the Cut, Kill the Messenger, Maps to the Stars, The Newton Boys, Seabiscuit, Secretary, Star Trek Nemesis, You've Got Mail, Yes Man, Wolves at the Door, and I'm just going to go through the whole month, Michael, so we can get through this, Being Serena, documentary series, Lady Macbeth, La Codiera. Did I say it right? Codiera?
Looks good.
Yeah. Totally butchered that one. 2018 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Induction Ceremony. Woo! Lego Ninjago Movie, A Dangerous Son, Asian Pacific American Visionary Short Film Competition Finalists, June, Remittance, and then Dunkirk. So, I'm I know that it's not well beloved, or it's like had no cultural impact, but I've only seen it once and I'm kind of excited to see it again. Avatar. And then probably one of my favorite, I would say probably at least top 10 favorite movies of all time, Garden State, obviously, Zach Braff, Natalie Portman, the movie that made me fall in love with her, and a great performance by Peter Skarsgård, and the guy that's married to Christina Hendricks as the weird guy in the store.
Yeah.
You've Got Mail is a movie that I want to watch. I've never seen it. I know it's a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, like, huge movie, but I just never did. And then Dunkirk. Looking forward to that. So what about you, Michael?
Yeah, Avatar. I mean, I haven't seen that in years, but, I mean, everyone knows about that. Dude, Where's My Car? That's just like, that's like a high school classic. Supposedly Eurotrip's really funny with, and it has Matt Damon in there. I haven't seen it, so I might check that out. Garden State.
DJ Qualls.
Oh, really?
For Eurotrip. Yeah.
Yeah, Garden State. I mean, you spoke. I mean, yeah, it's incredible.
That's
parents...
got one of the. Well, can we just stop for a second here? You and I, let's just kind of clear this for the listener.
Best soundtrack.
You and I have such a varied taste in movies. Like, very. I mean, we cross over in some of the main stuff, like mainstream stuff. But like, you and I have such a very different taste, and this is the one, like, movie and soundtrack where we absolutely cross over, because Garden State has the one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard in my life.
No doubt. And I love that.
And it's just such a fantastic movie too. And when you step out of the movie, you think about the plot for more than 10 seconds, it's like, this doesn't make sense. But if you just like go in and just enjoy it and just enjoy the ride, it's such a good movie. Zach Braff just kills it. Like, he absolutely killed, and well, I'm gonna get into bits here, so I don't want to do that. But just the Lionel Richie song in the movie just puts me in. I'm in tears every time I watch it. So,
needless, it's a great movie. Needless to say, I think that's probably a standout among all these. So make sure you see that. I grew up watching You've Got Mail, so soft spot for that movie, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. So. Check that out. Not for everyone. Definitely kind of one of those older soul movies. Yes Man, as much as I didn't like it, I kind of liked it. So, I don't know. Maybe not a recommendation. I am a sucker for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I will be watching that. And then to end this, two movies that I've always like I really wanted to see and I haven't. That's the Lego Ninjago movie and Dunkirk.
You never saw Dunkirk in the theater?
No, I didn't actually.
I actually thought you would have. Yeah, I didn't either. I thought I was gonna, but yeah, I gotta watch that. It's, you know, given the acclaim of the movie. It's Christopher Nolan. You gotta give him a chance. That's the guy's right. He's had a tough break. This really had a hard time breaking into Hollywood.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, leaving... HBO is A Monster Calls, Along Came a Spider, Assassin's Creed, Collateral Beauty, Constantine, The Darkness, The Day the Earth Stood Still, The Eraser, The Express, 50 Shades Darker, The Girl with the Pearl Earring, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, Pop Star, Never Stop Stopping, Pride and Glory, Renaissance Man, The Rescue, The Rookie, The Royal Tenenbaums, Scream 2, Stuck on You, Some All Fears, Terminator Salvation, The Terminator, The Vigilante Diaries, Why Him, and Zoolander. I'll just go here. I'm going to say check out Constantine. It's not as bad as people might have told you.
Huh.
It's a perfectly serviceable action movie. Keanu is Keanu, but it's totally fine. It's a guy who's not connected with his emotions, so Keanu fits the pot perfectly. La La Land, I thought that left last month, but if you haven't done yourself the service of watching La La Land, even though it seems like it's a high barrier to get over in the terms of it's a musical, it is a beautiful, beautiful musical. And if you want to really impress a lady on a date or a guy and really show them how cultured you are, just show them La La Land. You'll be fine. It's just a beautiful love story. I want to check out Royal Tenenbaums before it leaves. And then obviously, for reasons I shouldn't have to get into, check out the Terminator classic horror movie. Why Him was actually surprisingly funny, even though it's very, very dumb. So it's a definitely movie you turn on, not when your kids are around, but it's a movie if you're like Home Alone or, you know,
yeah, I liked it.
As Michael described, if you've like four beers deep and you're home alone, check out Why Him. It's totally serviceable.
I watched it on a plane to Mexico and we were in first class. So I just put it on there and said, keep bringing them. And so I just had a good time.
Then you were like, yeah, James Franco, man, the best. Because he is. I love James Franco. And then Zoolander.
Yeah.
Come on. If you haven't seen Zoolander, don't watch Zoolander 2. Do yourself a favor. Never watch that. But Zoolander 1 is one of the movies that like really, really, really put Ben Stiller on the map in terms of comedy. And yeah, you should check that out. Anything else, Michael, that stood out to you?
I'm going to add three more. Hidden Figures was a fantastic movie. I was kind of nervous going into it. Octavia Spencer, I believe she won an Oscar for this role.
Is this the one, the 1960s NASA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So add that to your watch list. I am a fan of Master and Commander. I've only seen it once with Russell Crowe. So I would say that's worth a watch. I was pleasantly surprised. And if you're looking for something really stupid, and you're a fan of The Lonely Island, those guys, watch Popstar, Never Stopping. I thought it was pretty funny. There is a scene with a penis, but if you're watching that movie, you should know what you're getting yourself into.
Okay, well, that about does it for the releases, so let's wrap up here with what we've been into. Michael, do you want to go first? What have you been into? What have you been watching, reading?
This isn't that original, but I'm just going to say it because I can. I've been rewatching a lot of Breaking Bad, and it is just a fantastic show. It's my favorite show of all time. And I was getting to a point where I was starting to, you know, question if that was the case. And then I just started watching it, and I'm about seven episodes in, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this show's fantastic. So I don't know if that's ever going to leave Netflix, but give that a check out. Go check that out.
Give it a watch.
Go give that a watch on your watch listing.
That's a show that is enhanced by you kind of knowing the beats as it goes along. When you kind of know where certain things are headed, I think it's better because I don't really know. And I always am hesitant because like Lost kind of ruined it, I think, for me and everybody else in the world. But
sure.
When you can kind of see that they set something up that paid off like three seasons later, like that's really cool. And I think that show is enhanced by that.
Yeah.
Anyways, is there anything else?
Well, are you going to do the HBO show?
Oh, no, we could both talk about it. Go ahead and you can bring it up.
Well, Matt, I saw the trailer for this show called Barry on HBO, and I thought, that's kind of weird. It doesn't strike me as a Bill Hader type show. And Matt sent me a text, and my wife have a running joke, and it's not much of a joke because it benefits us, but we always say whenever Matt has a recommendation, it's typically good. And so when we heard he enjoyed Barry, we said, all right, let's check it out. And it's really good. It's really entertaining. We like it a lot. So check that out too.
Yeah, I binged the first three episodes while I was at my desk. I just put it on and I just started watching it. That show is so good. Yeah. It's so funny. And I gotta figure out who that the guy who plays the Russian who's like completely bald, like shaved eyebrows and everything. But man, Bill Hader kills it literally and metaphorically in the show. And I think I'm like two behind now. Are you all caught up?
No, I think we're probably two behind as well.
But it is like such a violent show, but it's so it just does it, but it's not like weighed down. It's not like a drama at all.
No, not at all. It's a good balance.
And his interaction with Sarah Paulson, who's the girl in his improv class, when they're about to like reenact the scene of the guy that he was supposed like a guy that died in their improv class.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that show's great. I really hope that they continue it. I hope it stays as strong. Oh. Was that it, Michael? I've got quite a few, but no rush.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. So I've been seeing a lot of movies in the theaters here, but I'm going to go through some of the shows that I've been watching streaming first. Lately, I've been into Lost in Space. I'm 4 episodes into that show now. Man, have you seen anything from it, Michael?
Yeah, I'm about 4 in. It's kind of losing me a bit, though.
Really? I was kind of getting lost the first 2. And then once it hit like 3 and 4, it started picking up a little bit. So I'm a little bit more in, but they must have spent a lot of money on this because it looks really good.
The CGI is really good.
Yeah. And like, so the last, I mean, I have no connection other than like the black and white clips you see of Danger Will Robinson from the original TV show. And then my next kind of reference is Matthew LeBlanc in that like Iron Man helmet, you know, from the 90s movie where it's like, so it's like they could kind of do whatever they want. I'm not really going to care. And I know they've changed a lot in this movie, but, or in the show, but I think it looks good. Next thing is Bosch is on Netflix now. I'm like 3 episodes in. And if you haven't watched that show, just check it out, man. It's Titus Welliver. You know him as the man in black from Lost. And he was in a Transformers movie recently. And great actor. And it's got like a ton of The Wire alum. So you've got the guy who played, his name's escaping me. I can't remember. Marlo from The Wire. You know, and tons of characters from The Wire. It's a great show. The Bosch is great. New mystery, new, you know, intriguing story. So it's great. Other than that, I've been into, like I mentioned earlier, I've been into Shyamalan a lot lately. So I've been watching The Sixth Sense. Michael, do you ever watch that movie?
I mean, probably 15 years ago.
Okay. I've never seen it in full. So when I watched it the other day, that was the first time I watched it beginning to end. That movie's really scary.
Oh, yeah.
But it also, it's really not a horror movie. It's more like a drama with a couple bits of horror sprinkled into it. It's like the scary, like the tension in the movie, I can't, it's next level. But it's so well done. And knowing the twist, just because it's such like a public consciousness thing, like you just know the twist ending of Sixth Sense. It kind of watching it, you kind of see how well they framed different shots and how they played out different story arcs and how characters interacted with each other. And it's just like, man, he was on top of his game. And then you watch The Village, which is not that at all. And, yeah, I've just been in a Shyamalan phase. And then I saw A Quiet Place. Absolutely go see it if you get a chance in the theaters. For some reason, they're making A Quiet Place 2. Probably don't watch that, but Quiet Place, great. Krasinski kills it. Blunt kills it. She's the star of the movie. It was a very scary movie that my wife is actually willing to see because it's not, it's kind of in her wheelhouse for scary movies. And I just saw Avengers. And I'll be brief here. Great. Fun. Best Avengers movie that's been out of the 3 Avengers movies. Very, very well balanced, but be prepared to see some of your favorite characters get not a lot of screen time just because of the scope of the movie. And definitely make sure you've seen Black Panther before you've seen this movie. And that's all I'll say. but go out and watch it. And watch it in IMAX, too, because the whole film was filmed with IMAX cameras. So it's very well worth it. But Michael's going to see it with me next week. Well, by the time this episode comes out, he'll have seen it. So I'm looking forward to you seeing it, getting your thoughts here. But check it out. Great movie. So let's do plugs here, Michael. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at M-P-O-S-E-Y, Matt.
And you can find me at Armchair Matt on Twitter. You can follow this show, even though I'm still working on getting it set up here, but you can follow this show and all the other shows that I do at Armchair Podcasts. I do host two other shows, Earth 919, which is a weekly comic book podcast, which if you really want to know my in-depth, like insanely nerdy thoughts about Infinity War, we'll be talking about that this week on Earth 919. Then I also host a show called Interdimensional Ad Lib, which is just a limited series. It's just a fun thing I did with some friends. Former co-host of the Armchair Cinema and TV Talk with me and Michael, Adam, was on the latest episode. And this week, his brother, Travis, will actually be on the episode. Michael's up there. I've got another Michael episode that I've got to put out at some point. But that's just stupid people talking about stupid things. Not stupid people. Me, and then like relatively normal people talking about stupid things. Because I'm the stupid one. But so you can always check that out. Not humble. I'm just self-deprecating. But yeah, check those out. And most of those social media interactions will happen through Armchair Podcasts on Twitter. And then you can email us at armchairpodcasts@gmail.com. And as always, we thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, please share with your friends. Please take the time, go to iTunes, leave a review, a 5-star review. We don't want to hear anything less. But if you could, go on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, let us know what you think of the show. And if you have any recommendations, you heard me go through the list. I mean, the lists are long. If you have something that you think, like, that we are missing or that we should personally check out, give us a shout, and we'd love to hear about it. Otherwise, we'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about what's coming out at the tail end of the month and talk about what's leaving in May, so you can look forward to that. So, with that said, thanks for listening, and have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.